For beginning here on the top of Chet Amud Aleph, the second line, Amamar. Gemara here is going back to discuss what was mentioned in the Braita yesterday, which is that Chagigat Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Beit Shammai Omrim Min HaChulin, Beit Hillel Omrim Min HaMa'aser. And we determined that that was talking about a Chagigah. And with regards to a Chagigah, we know it's an obligatory offering. If it's an obligatory offering, why is it that Beit Hillel allows you to bring it Min HaMa'aser, from something that is already kadosh, something that's already designated for another purpose? Everybody agrees that when you're talking about a korban chuva, that it has to be brought min achulin. So what is the reasoning behind Beit Hillel's position? And that's what the Gemara says here. Amar mar. Beit Hillel omrim min amaser. Amai. How could that be? Davar shebechovahu. It's an obligatory offering. Bechol davar shebechovah. Inu bala min achulin. And anytime you have an obligatory offering, it has to be brought from money that is chulin. It cannot already be predetermined or pre-kadosh money, something that is used for another purpose or designated for another purpose, including a korban that's going to be a korban maser behema or a bechor or any of those items. Sarma'ula bitofel. What we're speaking about here is adding on additional money. The core or the base of what he's doing is chulin, but then he extends that or expands that by adding in additional money of ma'aser. So Chizki Amar, Toflim Behema de Behema. The Chizki says that you can bring multiple behemot in terms of expanding your Chagigah. Vein Toflim Ma'ot de Ma'ot. What you can't do is expand monetarily on a single purchase of an animal. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan has the other position, which is Toflim Ma'ot de Ma'ot. You can expand monetarily. When you make a single purchase, you can add on monies of chovah to the monies of chulin. But you cannot add on an animal to an animal. So as Rashi describes over here, the position of Chizkiah is, if this individual has numerous parties that are going to eat, and there's not enough within one behemah to provide for all those that are there, then he'll bring one chagigah, he'll bring one animal from chulin, and the rest of the animals he'll bring from his Maiser Sheni money. And even though they all come on the first day of Yom Tov, Shem Chagigah Lehem. They have a din of a Chagigah. But you're discharging your obligation with the first animal that you bring, and therefore that takes care of that the Chovah comes from the Chulin. The subsequent Beimot are still classified as Chagigah, because that's your intent to bring them together on the first day. And that's why they are Doche Yom Tov. That's why you're allowed to bring it on a Yom Tov. Because it was simply a voluntary offering, then according to those that believe that you can't bring a voluntary offering on Yom Tov, it would be problematic. But here, assuming that they're all Chagigot, that is permitted. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says that you buy a single large behemah, you take funds that were Chulin that would buy you a basic behemah, and then you can add on the Maaser Sheni money on top of that to expand on the size of the behemah or to enlarge the behemah itself. But, as Rabbi Yochanan says, once you move from one behemah to the next, that's a discrete object. And therefore, if the first animal is a chagigah, the second animal is not a chagigah. And as Tosafot over here says, you have to give a logic behind their reasons. You have to give a reasoning behind or a logic behind their shita. Each one of them is saying their perspectives. We're going to see in a second that the Gemara is going to darshan this from a pasuk that you're allowed to be tofel. The question is, what did they see as more appropriate? And Tosafot wants to give a logic to that understanding. Techizki amar, ein toflim amot, svarato nikar. For Chizki, it's obvious what its logic is. Kevin she'efshar li'tavel b'shtei be'emot. Since you have the opportunity or the ability to do it to animals, hachi adif. He thinks that's much better idea. You're allowed to discharge your obligation over two animals. When you have an obligation to bring a chagigah, you're allowed to divide that or subdivide that obligation and bring it as two animals. So therefore he doesn't permit you to do it with money expanding on a single behemah. He sees the preferential, preferred method for doing this by splitting up the chovah amongst multiple animals. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan favors toflim b'ma'ot with money and not doing it with a behemah, because he believes that you cannot split your chovah. You cannot disperse your obligation over two behemot. You have one behemah to discharge your obligation, so all your obligations got to be fit into that behemah. So for Rabbi Yochanan, he sees it being better that you have chulin and the maaser mixed together on the animal of your chuva. And since you have to concentrate your obligation on a single animal, that's also the way that you can add on, be tofel, is adding on money to that single animal. Buying a second animal or bringing a second animal has no relationship to the obligation of bringing the chagiga. And so that will be the key to the difference in their opinions. They both agree that you're permitted to be tofel. Do we give preference to adding on the number of animals or adding to a single animal? That depends on their view with regards to an obligation of a chagiga. Can you break that down into multiple animals? Or does it have to be centered or focused on a single animal? For Rabbi Yochanan, it's centered on an animal. Therefore, his tofel comes by expanding the value of the animal, adding money to it. On the other hand, Chizkiah sees that bringing a chuva with money of chulin, as you're mixing up chulin into your core chuva, and he also believes that your obligation of a chagiga you can disperse over multiple animals, and therefore, he says, better to break it up into multiple animals and bring it in that manner than to do it through the adding of money to a single animal. The Gemara says here, Tanya Kavate de Chizkiah, Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braita that supports the position of Chizkiah, and as well as a braita that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. It says in the Pasuk, which is found in Parshat Re'eh, Vasita Chag Shavuot Hashem Adokecha, Misat Nitvat Yadecha Asher Titein, Kasher Yivarechecha Hashem Adokecha. Misat Nitvat Yadecha. It says that you bring present the gifts that Hashem has provided you. That you see that a person bring their chagiga from chulin. How do we know that if he wants to mix or commingle his monies that he's allowed to do it? As Hashem has blessed you. So that means mikol asher berechecha, from everything that Hashem has blessed you, including Ma'ot Meisur Sheni. Tanya Kavate de Chizkiah, we have a braita that supports Chizkiah. Misat Melameid Shadam Mevi Chovato Min Achulin. See from here that a person can bring his obligation from the Chulin. Bet Shemai Omrim Yom Rishon Min Achulin Mikan Vailech Min Amaser. On the first day you bring Chulin. The subsequent days you bring from Ma'ot Meisur Sheni in order to discharge your obligation of Simcha. On the other hand, Bet Hillel Omrim Achila Rishona Min Achulin Mikan Vailech Min Amaser. Your first meal, your first participation has to come from the chulin. But beyond that, you can use maaser sheni money. Thought process now is that that means one behema by itself he'll bring on the shulchan rishon. That'll be the most single behema. And that single behema will be from chulin. The remaining behemot will be from maaser according to Beit Hillel. Mishar kol yomot ha-pesach. The remaining days of Pesach, adam yotzei ido chato b'maaser behema. Not only can you use Maaser Sheni money, you can even actually bring Korbanot of Maaser Behema. Yom Tov, my time alo. How come the Braita does not suggest that on Yom Tov you can bring an animal of Maaser Behema, but on the remainder of the days you can't? Because you do have to bring Shalmei Simcha here. Amar Rav Ashi, Dilma Ate Lesurei B'Yom Tov. We're afraid that he'll actually take off Maaser Behema on Yom Tov. V'i Efshar Laaser B'Yom Tov. Mishum Sikrato. You can't take Maaser Behema on Yom Tov because you have to dye the animal. You use a red dye on the animal to demarcate which one is the 10th one. And that would be problematic on Yom Tov. So what's interesting here is Tosafot takes up the issue as to why isn't there a simple problem being Mekadesh the animal on Yom Tov. There's a restriction, a rabbinic restriction against being Mekadesh the animal on Yom Tov. So why does the Gemara here use the reason of Mishum Sikroto and not use the reason of Ein Mikadshin B'Yom Tov? So Tosafot brings a number of answers. The first of which is that it's Kadosha V'Od Medit, that this animal is automatically Kadosh. As soon as it's the 10th animal going out, by itself it becomes Kadosh. You really don't have to do anything. The 10th becomes Kadosh irrespective of whether you call it Kadosh or not Kadosh. The 10th animal, when you count it, becomes Kadosh. So that's one answer he gives. A second answer he gives is that there's a difference between Doraita and Derabanan. The Gemara assumes that you would only have an Iser Dirabanan here by disallowing Maaser Behema on Yom Tov if it was protecting against a violation of an Iser Doraita, like Sikrata, like dyeing something red, which would be Tzoveya on Yom Tov. On the other hand, Mikadesh Behema on Yom Tov is only a restriction Dirabanan. So you wouldn't put in place an Iser Dirabanan saying don't bring Maaser Behema on the first day to protect against a possible violation of an Iser Dirabanan. The final answer brings from Rav Elchanan, is you're allowed to be Mekadesh an animal if it's going to be used on that day. If it's for an obligation to be discharged that day, you're allowed to be mekadesh the animal on that day. So since over here, you're mekadesh an animal that's going to be used for the day, that should be permitted. The Reed disagrees and says that's just not the case. Over here, nobody forced you to use Meiser Behema to fulfill your obligation of Shami Simcha. Happens to be that if you use Meiser Behema, it will fulfill your requirement of Shami Simcha, but that is not a requirement to bring the Meiser Behema, and therefore being Mekadesh, the Meiser Behema on Yom Tov is not designated or necessary on Yom Tov, and therefore it doesn't follow that rule that you're allowed to be Mekadesh items on Yom Tov itself. So now the Gemara says, my mashma dehai misa lishna dechulinhu. How do you know that that word in the pasuk really means that you're allowed to in money? Dichtiv, because it says Vayaseim Hamelech Achashverosh Mas Al Haaretz. Then Achashverosh put a tax on the land. So the Gemara here sees the play between the word mas and misat being of the same shoresh, and therefore it means a monetary tax or monetary gift of chulin, and that's how we learn out chulin. Tosafot brings from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi has two other options in terms of how to learn out the word misat. One of them is with regards to Masir Sheni, which is Lo Tuchal Se'eto. And another possibility is, Vayisa Mas'ot Mei Panav Alehem, Vaterev Masad Binyamin Mi Mas'ot Kulam Chamesh Yadot, Vayishtu Vayishkru Imo. Vaterev Masat Binyamin, that the word Masat, there it's not spelled the same way, it's spelled Mem Sin Aleph Tov, but it's pronounced the same way, means the portion of Binyamin was greater than the others. And it's the same idea over here, that the misat is, there's one central, focused, important one, and then there are other presents that were given out were secondary, attached to that primary gift that was given. So whatever the limud is, the limud teaches us the word misat means that you have extra amount that you can add on to the misat, the chulin, which is the core. Then you have the varecha kashem, which can then be added on to. So whether the limud's from the psukim that the Yerushalmi brings, or from here, from our pasuk in the Bavli, which is from the Megillah, it tells you that the core, the mas, or misat, must be chulin, and then whatever's added on can be even from maaser sheni, that you're allowed to be tofel, you're allowed to add on to the primary part that is chulin. And that teaches us, with regards to the chagigah, chagigah is a special dispensation that's not available to other korbanot, which is that you're allowed to add on from the non-chulin items in order to expand, either according to Rabbi Yochanan, the size of the animal, or according to Chizkiah, the number of animals that you bring for your Korban Chagigah. Tanu Rabbanan, v'samachta b'chagecha, rabot kol minei smachot l'simcha. Samachta b'chagecha comes to tell you that any form of simcha would suffice. Mikan amachnu chachamim, so yotzi midei chuvatam b'nedarim u'nedavot u'b'maser b'ema. That a person can discharge their obligation with regards to the Shalmei Simcha through voluntary offerings of Nidarim Nidavot, Masir Behema, which is a Korban that we just discussed before, Ve'akohanim Bechatat Ve'asham, Kohanim, with the Chataot Hashemot that are brought, they get a portion of that to be eaten by them, Bechor, which belongs to the Kohen, Ubechazeh Shok, that's their share of the Korbanei Shlamim. Yochol Af Be'ofot Minachot, you would think that it would also allow you to bring other Korbanot, like birds and minochot and meal offerings. Tamalomar v'samachta b'chagecha mi shechagiga b'amehem. Only things that can be brought from the same thing that the chagiga has brought. Yatsu elu shein chagiga b'amehem. An oaf and a mincha cannot be used to discharge the obligation of a korban chagiga. So since they cannot be used for the korban chagiga, they also cannot be used for the shalmi simcha. Why can't they be used for the korban chagiga? Because by the chagigah it says that you have chaleb. As Rashi says, the pasuk says, lo yalin chaleb chagi ad boker, which references the korban chagigah. Chaleb is only found in animals. It's not found in birds or in the minachot. So therefore there's a demand for an animal to be the korban and not a bird or a mincha. Rashi amar mi v'samachto nafko, yatsu elu shein behem simcho, that we learn out of the word v'samachto, and simcho is not associated with the ofot or the mincha. Simcha is only associated with the Zevach. Tosafot points out that Yerushalmi learns that out of the fact that by Harival, where there were Korbanot Shlamim, that there is the mention of the word Simcha, and therefore there is an association between the Simcha and the Korban Shlamim. For Lashi Hai Bechagecha Mayav Dilei. So if he doesn't use the word V'samachta Bechagecha to teach us this Limud, then what does he do with Bechagecha? How look at Rav Daniel Bar Katina? something that we bumped into before in Moed Katan Daf Chet. Tamar of Daniel Bar Katina Marab Minayin Shein Osim Nashim B'Moed. Where do we know that you're not allowed to marry a woman on Chol Moed? Shenemar B'Samachta B'Chagecha V'Lo B'Ishtecha. The Simcha of the Chag has to be your primary focus, and it cannot be that the Simcha is generated by some exogenous variable like one's wife. It has to be generated out being Lifnei Hashem on the Chag. This is one of the two limudim that's brought there in the Gemara and Moed Katan. So for the other opinion that Luz says, V'samachta b'chagecha, to teach you about the chagiga and the simcha and the correlation between them, then he doesn't have the word chagecha available for him for this limud, so you'll have to use the other limud that the Gemara has of Ein Marvim Simcha b'simcha in the Gemara and Moed Katan. Or he might learn out both things from the word b'chagecha. It means both. It means b'chagecha is teaching you also simcha, but it's also teaching you chagecha v'lo ishtecha. So it's interesting here that the Gemara has a specific riboy that allows one to use any form of korban to satisfy their shalmei simcha. Why that's interesting is we've until this point explained that the only requirement for shalmei simcha is that one consume a korban on the Yom Tov itself, and that korban, no matter what it is, it's basar kodashim, is enough to qualify you to satisfy the need for simcha, or the obligation of simcha on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed. But that all assumes that you do not have to bring a korban. There's no obligation to bring a shalmei simcha, a korban of the shalmei simcha. The only obligation is simply to consume basar kodashim. That is what it sounds like from Gemarot in Sukkah and the Gemarot in Psachim. Yet the Gemara here looks for a pasuk, a specific riboy, to tell us that you can use nidarim and nidavot. That should have been an automatic Paul Yotzei from the obligation of Simcha is simply to participate in Basar Kodashim and not bring a physical Korban. If that was the case, then why do I need a Riboy to tell me that Nidarim, Nidavot, and all these things work? That should be built into the Shalmei Simcha, which makes it sound like there is an obligation from our Gemara to bring a Shlamim or Shalmei Simcha, even though technically one could be Yotzei with the Basar Kodashim from any other Korban that he brought, as well as other people's korbanot potentially. And that might be somewhat limited based on what we saw in the Tosafot yesterday, which is the Rabbi Yochanan and the Ri, who say that even when you bring Nidarim and Nidavot on the Chag, you have to bring them l'shem Simcha. So it's true that you can use other Basar or Basar of other Kodashim in order to fulfill your obligation, but that only works when you specifically have in mind when you bring those korbanot that they should be Shalmei Simcha. It's also possible that you could argue that there is an obligation to bring a shalmei simcha, but maybe only once, and the remainder of your obligation can be discharged through other korbanot or other people's korbanot. Or you can argue that the din of simcha is simply that you have to have basar kodashim. Now, it can't be any basar kodashim, and it might have to be basar kodashim that has specifically been brought on the chag itself, and with the intention of using it for the simchat chag. It's somewhat unclear as to which way the Gemara leans. Again, it's a somewhat of a steer in the different sugyot as to whether the obligation is simply to consume basar kodashim, or does one really or seemingly have to bring a shalmei simcha as well, even though they possibly could get away the whole Yom Tov without ever bringing a shalmei simcha by eating other people's shlamim or participating in other people's shlamim, as well as bringing his nidarim and nidavot. Right now the Mishnah says, Mi sheyesh lo ochlim mirubim v'nechasim mu'atim. Someone who has a large family, but his means are limited, mevi shlamim mirubim ve'olot mu'atot. He should focus the bringing of his korbanot on minimizing the number of olot that he brings. He'll satisfy whatever it is for olot re'iyah. But then his expenditures should go mostly towards shlamim, bringing the shalmei chagiga as well as the shalmei simcha. On the other hand, someone who has nechasim mirubim ve'ochlim mu'atim, someone who has the means or large financial means but a smaller family, then he should do just the opposite. Mevi olot mirubot, he should focus his expenditures towards the olot ri'iyah, u'shlamim mu'atim, and he'll bring a limited number of shlamim to satisfy the needs of his family. V'ze mu'at, a person who has neither the means nor the family size that would justify bringing a lot of olot or a lot of shlamim. That's what the minimums that we saw in the first Mishnah of the Masechta reference, someone who has to bring the minimum amount, doesn't have the financial means to bring much more than that. Plus, he doesn't have a necessity for more because his family is small. Therefore, he goes by the minimum amount that one has to bring for a olat ri'iyah and a shalmei chagigah. Zeveze merubim, someone who's blessed both with a large family and the financial means to provide for them, al zenemar ish kimat nat yado kivrakat Hashem lukecha asher natan lach. So here you bring, according to your means, you can bring as many olot and as many shlamim as you please, and it's based on the financial means by which you have to bring these gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have both the financial means, you bring lots of olot riyah, you have a large family, you also bring lots of shlamim. Now the Gemara says, shlamim mirubim meheichem haiti. Wait, you just said before, the first line of the Mishnah, this is individuals poor, but he has a large family. So you suggested that he brings minimal amount of olot riyah, but then he'll bring a large number of shlamim. Where is he getting these large numbers of shlamim from? So Mar says, how lately? He doesn't have any means to do this. Sam Rav Chista tofel umevi par gadol. Like the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, he will use some of the money that he otherwise has designated for Meiser Sheni, and he'll expand on the minimal amount of chulin that he needs to discharge his obligation to Chagigah, and he'll bring a much larger animal by combining the resources that he has, the obligation to bring the Korban Chagigah, plus the Meiser Sheni money that he has that he can add on top of that. Samalei Rav Sheshet, Hari Amru, Toflim Behema de Behema. Rav Sheshet says to Rav Chista, wait a minute, they say when you talk about adding on, that's a Behema to a Behema. You can add on additional Behemot, but not on a single Behema. That's what it sounds like. So my Kamarle, what is the Gemara says, what exactly is he saying to him? Ilei Mahochi Kamarle, if he's saying to him, like what I just suggested, Hari Amru, Toflim Behema de Behema, Avalo Ma'ot de Ma'ot. What he's suggesting is that you're only allowed to expand on the number of animals that you bring, but you cannot use money to expand on a single animal to bring a larger animal with ma'ot ma'aser sheni added to ma'ot chulin. Let him say that directly. Ein toflim ma'ot lema'ot. Just say the statement he wants to make, because why do we have to learn that out of reference from his statement? He's directing it at Rav Chista. Should say to him, ein toflim ma'ot lema'ot. Elohachi amarle. This must be what Rav Sheshet is suggesting to him. Hari amru, af. Toflim behema de behema. Not only can you add on to a single animal using the money of Meiser Sheni, but you can even buy multiple animals. Kiman, who is his position like? This position of Rav Sheshet, who does that follow? Deloki Chizkiya, but Deloki Rabbi Yochanan. Because Chizkiya believes you can only be tofel behema de behema, not ma'ot. And Rabbi Yochanan the opposite, which is you can be toflim ma'ot, but not behema. Over here, Rav Sheshet is suggesting you can do both of them. You can be tofel behema, and you can be tofel ma'ot. The Gemara says, "V'chaytaim amorai hu depligi matanita loy pligi." If you say this is just a machloket amoraim between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, but the bright don't argue. V'atani, don't we have a bright that says achila rishona min echulin? My achila rishona. What is that first achila speaking about? From what we understood before, the bright suggested that you could be toflim behema the behema. The first bright said the arev to mix, and the word mix means to put together something in a single grouping, and that referred to money, and that bright that was supportive of Yochanan. The second bright that we brought was supportive of Chizkiya, who suggests that only the first meal or the first korban has to be minachulin, but after that you can bring it from other behemot. So again, over here you have a bright that suggests toflim behemah the behemah, and not toflim out the maot. Mar says, it sounds like each of those bright thoughts were exclusive of the other position. Mar says, no, you misunderstood. My achila rishona. What does achila rishona mean? Shir d'mei achila rishona min achulin. Doesn't mean that your first meal, the first korban has to be mechulim. It just means that the shi'ur, the minimum amount that comes from chulin, has to be that amount. So it could be a single animal. It just means the monetary value of your first meal must come from ma'ot chulin. After that, you can expand on it with other ma'ot. So by reinterpreting that braita, we don't necessarily have a machloket in the braitot, or we don't have a braita that only supports Chizkiya and a Braita that only supports Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a possibility that the second Braita can be read to support this position of Rav Sheshet, which is that the second Braita approves both of being Tofel Behema and Tofel Ma'ot. If you read it just as the Achila Rishona Minachulin like we did originally, it means that you can add first Behema as Minachulin, after that it can be from Meiser Sheni. Whereas if you read it the way we're reading it now, which is Shiur Dmei Achila Rishona Minachulin, then it can even mean tofel ma'ot, and that brayta will be supportive of the position of Rav Sheshet. So Amar Ula, Amar Ish Lakish, Hifrish, Eser Behemot Chagigato. He separated out 10 animals to serve as his chagiga. He kriv chamesh b'yom tov rishon. If he brought 5 of them on the first day of yom tov, chozer makriv chamesh b'yom tov sheni. Then he can bring the subsequent 5, according to Rashi, on the next day, on Cholam Moed, on the second day, literally, of the holiday. Whereas Rabbeinu Chananon reads it as yom tov sheni means on Shmini Atzeret, on the 7th day of Pesach, the next yom tov of this holiday. Rav Yochanan Amar came in shepasak shuvenu makriv. As soon as you stop bringing your korbanot, you can't bring the korbanot after that. So according to Rav Yochanan, the first 5 you brought are fine as chagigot. The subsequent animals are no longer classified as a chagigah because you already stopped bringing them on the first day. So Amar Rabbi Abba, volo plige. Rav Yochanan Mishalkash are not arguing. Kan bistam, kan bimefaresh. It depends on how you were mikadesh these animals. If you were mikadesh the animals bimifaresh, you explicitly said that on the first day I'm being makriv or I'm mikadesh all these animals to be for my chagiga, then when he brings the next day, he can make up because they're just tashlumim for the rishon. He intended to bring all 10 of them on the first day. The 5 that are left over are still classified as chagiga. On the other hand, bistam, if he doesn't specify that they're chagigot, then whatever he brought on the first day will classify as a chagiga. Whatever he didn't bring on the first day will no longer be a chagiga. And that's Rabbi Yochanan speaking a case of stam, and Reish Lakish is speaking a case of mifaresh, where it says, "Hai stam eichidomi." When he doesn't explicate on what he's bringing, then what is the case exactly? Ilema deleke shahut bayom nikarev, that they ran out of time. He brought his 10 korbanot, he wanted to bring them all on that first day, but the day ran out. It's sunset. So hai delo akrevinu, the only reason that he didn't or was not makriv them is mishum deleke shahut bayom. There was just no more time left. So you can't blame him for that. That's something that just rolled over because of the lack of time. And the subsequent 5 should also be a chagiga. El delet le'ochlin. It's a case where he doesn't have someone to consume it. He could brought 5 of them, 5 of the shlamim, but he can't find consumers for 10 shlamim. So he brings 5 today, and then he leaves the other 5 over to the next day. Mar says again, haidelo akrevinu delet le'ochlin. Then the reason that he's not bringing it is because he doesn't have people to consume the korban. So in that case, then it also automatically should be classified as a chagiga the next day, because the reason he didn't bring it is not because he left them over, it's because he was forced to leave them over. I says, lo tzricha de'igasho bayom v'id le'ochlim. It's a case where there is sufficient time in the day to bring the other 5 korbanot, and he has sufficient consumers of these 10 shlamim, so he could bring all of them. But because mi de'bikamo lo akrevinu, since he didn't bring them on the first day, it's clear that he's intending to leave them over. And when he intends to leave them over, that's problematic because that's not classified as a chagiga. Chagiga is brought on the first day, and it's really the first korbanot that you bring. Over here, when you intentionally postpone the other set of korbanot to the next day, that's not called being a part of the chagiga. And his intention originally must have been that he was going to do this over 2 days, which doesn't work. The chagiga is brought on the first day. That makes sense that there is no machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and that Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish in certain instances, as well as the way that we've explained the Gemara, because if he designated 10 of his animals to be his korbanot chagigah, he brought 5 on the first day of Yom Tov, Choser Makriv Chamesh B'Yom Tov Sheni is allowed to bring the subsequent 5 on the next day. So that's a kashin ha'adodi. It's a machloket here in the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. In this case, Kiata Ravin, he's telling us that Rabbi Yochanan says, you can bring the remaining 5 on the subsequent day, and it would not be problematic. It would still be classified as a chagiga. That goes against what Rabbi Yochanan just said here, where he argued on Reish Lakish. Tumar says, it must be, El Alav Shmamino, Kan Bistam, Kan Mifaresh. It's exactly the distinction we drew between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. To say they're not arguing, so too, you can make that same distinction within the position of Rabbi Yochanan himself, because that's what he believes. That if he's mifaresh, then they're all classified as chagigot, and he brings them the next day, it's still a chagiga. If he says it's stam, then it depends on why you got postponed to the next day. If it was involuntary that it was postponed to the next day, either because the day ended, they ran out of time, or because they didn't have sufficient consumers, then it would also be considered a chagiga the next day. If he voluntarily postponed the other 5 to the next day, then we say that they are not chagigot, because that means that he originally intended to bring them in 2 sets, and that won't work. You have to bring them together in 1 shot on the first day to be the chagiga. Shmamino, that must be the distinction drawn here. Itmar nami, We have another Amoraic statement. Am Rav Shem Bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan. So again, in the sheet of Rav Yochanan, Toshanu El Shalo Gamar. It's only if he didn't finish. Aval Gamar, Choser Makriv. But if it finished, then you go back and are Makriv. Mar says, my Gamar. What does it mean that he finished? Ilema Gamar Korbanotav. If he finished up all his Korbanot, my Makriv. What is he bringing the next day? El Shalo Gamar Ayom. The case where the day hasn't passed already or didn't finish. But if the day finished and it was an involuntary postponement of his korbanot to the next day, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in that case that it's all classified as a single chagiga. The Rabbeinu Chananel, as opposed to Rashi, explains that the Yom Tov Sheni here does not mean Chol HaMoed, but Yom Tov Sheni actually means the second day of Yom Tov of the Chag, meaning that the first day of Pesach and the seventh day of Pesach, which would be the second Yom Sheni, would be the Yom Tov Sheni. Rabbi Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret. And what the Rabbeinu Chananel is explaining here is that we know we have a rule, you can't bring Nedarim and Nedavot on Yom Tov itself. But obligatory Korbanot you can bring on Yom Tov. What the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests over here, if you hold like Reish Lakish that they're all classified as Chagigot, then the five you bring on the first day are Doche Yom Tov, because they're obligatory Korbanot. And the subsequent five that you're going to bring on the last day of Yom Tov will also be Doche Yom Tov, because they're obligatory offerings. But if you say like Rabbi Yochanan that the second five are not obligatory offerings, they are nedarim and nedavot, because the obligation terminated after you bring the first five and then didn't bring the remainder of them, then the subsequent five are nedarim and nedavot, and they cannot be brought on the last day of Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to bring a neder or nedava on Yom Tov itself. That's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara, and then he follows through all the way through, assuming that the question at hand here is whether these are nedarim and nedavot or obligatory korbanot, and whether they're Doche Yom Tov or not Doche Yom Tov. As Tosafot points out, that Yerushalmi seems to favor that interpretation of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, we're going to stop here at the Mishnah on the top of Ted Amud Aleph.